Blog Talk Radio.
It's Sunday evening, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio. Your hosts for tonight's show are Robert Brining and Jeremy Dunn. They'll be taking your calls and speaking on the topic of the week. You're encouraged to call in and share some of your life experiences with us. The number to call is 347-215-9442. That number again, 347-215-9442. Welcome to Pause I Am Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Pause I Am Radio. I am your host, Robert Brining. I'm joined by my co-host, Jeremy Dunn. Jeremy, how are you making out today, man?
I'm not making out. You can't prove that I was.
How you doing, man? How you holding up?
I'm doing okay. I'm holding up just fine. As a matter of fact, I'm holding up the bar here at home. Breakfast bar, that is.
Yeah. You always wanted to be a comedian, didn't you?
Yeah, but I didn't quit my day job.
I guess that's a good thing.
Exactly, because I would be starving if I was going to be a comedian. Are you kidding?
Well, I want to welcome everyone to Pause I Am Radio. I want to actually wish everyone a happy Valentine's Day. Yesterday was Valentine's Day, and I hope you had a good one. How was your Valentine's Day?
How was my Valentine's Day? Well, because my very good friend Deborah is visiting us from England. I mean, it's like she didn't leave because she was here, you know, just a few months ago, and she couldn't get enough of Mark and me, so she's back on
my couch.
That's always fun. And I got to tell you, those British, they're luscious, but hey, that's a whole other show, a whole other topic. Okay, so I'll tell you the truth. She went and got one of those boxes of wine, and she put a straw in it. I am not kidding you.
And is this drinking right out of the straw?
She is, out of a box of wine. I mean, it's like, are you kidding me? It's anyway. We'll get into more of that later.
So what did you do on Valentine's? Anything special?
What we did, actually, Deborah, Mark, and I, we went to a restaurant here in Charlotte called Chima. It's a Brazilian steakhouse, and they do what they call a rodizio service, where they have gauchos come do a rotation of, so it's all you can eat meat. That sounds funny. But they come by and they slice off different types of meat, whatever you want, like top sirloin and filet mignon, and they had swordfish and salmon and leg of lamb and lamb chops. But we were stuffed by the end. I mean, just any kind of steak you would want, they would come by the table and they would slice it off the skewer, and it was just so darned good. No, there was no mystery meat. You knew exactly what it was, and there was no cat. And their salad bar is amazing. And they just have these wonderful cheeses, and it was just a wonderful experience. So the three of us did that last night, and I also want to just say publicly, happy birthday, Mark, if you're listening, because Thursday was Mark's birthday. Happy birthday, Mark. And we took him on Friday because Mark is a huge, huge horror film fan. So we took him out to go see Friday the 13th on Friday the 13th. The Friday the 13th remake, you know. And I gotta say, I liked it, but for those Friday the 13th purists out there, you might have some issues with it. But I thought it was a really creative and new retelling of the story. So it was fun. It was a good scare fest. And then today, of course, we went and saw the movie The International with Clive Owen. And
that's the one where he's the banks, right? Something with the banks.
Yeah, Clive Owen's hot. I think I missed half the plot just because I was too busy going, you know, drooling over Clive. No, I'm kidding. But no, that movie is about what is that movie about? The International is about Clive Owen, who is an agent for Interpol. And Interpol being, you know, information gathering and facilitating, you know, arrests and all of that, you know, across Europe. And he is entangled in this thrill ride of a story where there's a bank that is allegedly doing some bad things and orchestrating some bad things to happen, and I'm going to leave it there. But it was a good movie, so I don't want to ruin it for anybody who hasn't seen the movie yet, because I really enjoyed it. So
you just became a regular movie buff there this weekend.
Yeah, we did, actually, and we're going to go see The Curious Case of Benjamin Button this week as well. So
I wanted that was to see that. To be good.
That yeah, I, you know, it's always intriguing to watch. What's his name? What is
Brad
his name?
Pitt.
Brad Pitt. Thank you. To watch Brad Pitt age in reverse.
Right. That's
yeah,
funny. The last
I mean,
movie that that we watched last night, we rented on pay per view, was a movie called Mirrors.
Yeah, I didn't like that one as much.
It was all right. It had some like freaky moments where I jumped, but other than that, I don't know. I just the horror movies don't seem to cut it for me anymore.
With Mirrors, I fell asleep halfway through it.
Yeah, it was a little long.
It was very long, and it was just they could have cut out about 40 minutes in the middle. Because you got the point. All right. There's bad things that happen when you look in this particular mirror. Ooh.
So on Valentine's
that happens to me. Yeah, what did you do for Valentine's Day?
Yesterday, we kind of just basically hung around the house a little bit. We went out to lunch. Actually, it ended up being really like dinner. We went to Friday's for dinner. Of course, we went out and I got him all these chocolates because, you know, my partner is like a chocolate fanatic. So I went out and I got these three boxes of Fannie Mae chocolates that came in the mail, and they're like incredible. And he just loves chocolate. So I figured I could give him his chocolate fix for that. But then we went to the casinos last night, which was a lot of fun. I always like going and playing slot machines. I lost $50. So, I mean, it's all right. I mean, I went down with $50. You know, I'm down $50 from the casinos. But then earlier yesterday, I got a scratch off and I won $100. So,
wow.
So I'm kind of up $50.
There you go.
But it was just fun.
You
we like to get out.
Dollars.
Yeah, we like to just go out, you know, and just have a good time at the casinos. It's just fun for me to get out, and like all the stress isn't there, and the sounds of the machines. It's just fun for me.
Robert.
Mhm.
I hate to tell you, but you're sounding like an 80-year-old woman.
I love the casinos. It's so much fun. I sit there and I smoke and talk to those ladies.
you smoke. You're probably sitting there with a cigarette hanging. I can see it now.
I only win when the cigarette's in my mouth.
you do. I can see it. You're sitting there, cigarette hanging out of your mouth with the ash, you know, like 3 inches long because it hasn't fallen, and you're just feeding quarters and pulling the arm, feeding the quarter and pulling the arm, and then you go, touch my machine, honey, I'm going to pop you. You know, I can see it.
Yeah, right.
I can totally see it. I really
funny.
Can. Oh, gosh. So what else is going on with you?
Other than that, everything else was good. I had a big, you know, my partner had a big event today, and we went and took care of that thing, and all that went well. One of the things I did want to...
Can you not talk about the big event, or was this like, you know, putting somebody in cement shoes and then sending them off into some river?
No, it's not bad. No, my partner, he just, you know, he does events. He's a medium, and he had an event, and it was just, you know, a normal event where he brings messages through and bring a lot of healing to people.
Ah,
it's fun.
Okay.
It's always fun.
Yeah, that sounds like fun.
But, the topic for tonight's show is going to be being HIV positive and co-infected with something else, whether it be hepatitis or anything else. And basically, you know, how to react to it when it happens. I know a lot of people go into the closet, you know, kind of back like they're afraid to. It's like, you know, I kindly just got used to this HIV thing and now something else. A lot of people, you know, get into things like that. And they have issues with it. And I know, you know, that's what I was at least reading a little bit online. That did you find that, did you found that out too there, Jeremy? That people seem to?
I didn't quite understand your question.
That people feel like, that people feel like, where am I saying? That people feel like that there's more stigma added to them because now that they're co-infected with something else, that they can't feel like that they can trust now the HIV positive community because there's something else to make them feel apart.
Well, I think really what I found is that when, and we're just going to jump right in, I guess, is when people find, it depends on what they find out they're co-infected with. Because you could be co-infected with diabetes.
Right.
Like, I can speak from experience, I'm co-infected with hepatitis C. And that hep C, you know, every time I read something about hepatitis C, it's like, well, intravenous drug users, and that's really what I find a lot. But I think the co-infection always adds more, you know, to the mix. And what I mean more is, and I can speak from my experience, is that being hepatitis C positive and having HIV, there's the aspect of the medications that I can take because, you know, it depends on what you're on, the liver toxicity of the meds. So that can cause issues. And I haven't started the Hep C treatment yet because I'm terrified of it, to be quite honest. There's a lot of stigma around, you know, just HIV alone, and then when you add Hep C to it, and then you add other things, you know, syphilis, herpes, all those
gonorrhea.
Lovely gotchas, you know, because co-infection, when I speak of co-infection, I'm speaking of two diseases that you're co-infected with that are chronic. So like HIV, herpes, or hepatitis C. The syphilis, the gonorrhea, the chlamydia, all of that can be cleared up.
Right.
So when you're living day to day and, you know, it's, well, I can't take Tylenol because of the liver toxicity and because my liver is having issues processing things as it is. So do I sit there and just deal with the headache or do I just go ahead and take a couple of Tylenol or Excedrin or Advil or whatever it is? Because it's like, God, I got to get this headache, just get rid of it. The other, you know, there's lifestyle choices that you have to make as well. So it's, you know, I went and got non-alcoholic beer. Of course, you know, non-alcoholic beer has 0.5% alcohol by volume.
Right.
But you would have to drink 18 of those, around 18 or 19 of those to get the same alcohol equivalent as in one Bud Light or Miller Lite. So it's far better for me, I want a beer, so I'm going to have a non-alcoholic. It's because I like the taste of beer. Odd enough, but I'm not, you know, but then again, my liver's not having to process the alcohol either, so it's a lot easier on the liver.
Right, so one of the things that you're saying that we could do, you know what I mean, to protect your liver is to stop drinking. the alcohol.
Stop drinking alcohol. Really watch what, all the fatty foods, which I have to look out for because got the little spare tire going around. There's the fatty foods you have to watch, and different medications just across the board, because your liver, and this is, I'm going to give you biology 101, the liver is your body's filtration system. It filters out and breaks down things to their most molecular level so you can digest stuff. And when the liver is having to work harder, it can get damaged. And the other thing about the liver is that it doesn't have any nerve endings, so it feels no pain. So the liver doesn't feel pain. So a lot of the times, people don't realize how far gone the liver has, gone into cirrhosis, which is scarring of the liver. So you don't know how far it's gone because you don't feel it really. And so that's, you might feel some abdominal pain because the liver is that big organ that kind of sits right on top of your stomach. And it sits right on top of your small intestine, and it does a lot of good for you. It does all this stuff. It's hard, so what do you give up? So, for me, example, I'm going to go back and talk with my doctor about, because my Hep C is acted up, my ALTs are a lot more elevated, and my AST is high. So I'm going to talk to him about looking at changing, possibly switching my medication. Because one of the medications I'm on is the Atripla. And Atripla, as most people know, is three medications in one pill.
You're kind of cutting in and out, Jeremy.
Oh, am I there?
Yeah, now you are.
Okay, sorry. So the Atripla is three medications in one pill. So the one medication that's really tough on the liver is the Sestiva. Hmm. So it's just... It depends on the medication.
Makes sense. Right now,
there.
Now you are. Now you said you're co-infected with hepatitis C.
Yes.
Okay. Now, when it comes down to it, and some people, this may happen to other people, and they may come to the conclusion where they don't know what medicine to start first. Is there a way to figure out whether you should start taking your HIV medicine or your hepatitis medicine? Like, is there like a rule that, you're supposed to treat this one before this one? I mean, I don't know anything about this. When I go to the doctors and they talk to me about hepatitis, it's always, let me give you your shot, and test you for it and your vaccine and make sure you're good. And then that's the end of it. You know what I mean? Like, I never really get into any more depth of it. So, that's why I'm asking you, is there a way to decide where to start?
There is no vaccine for hepatitis C.
Okay, so then...
The vaccines that you get are for hepatitis A and hepatitis B.
Gotcha.
So hepatitis C, there is no vaccine for. As in all treatment decisions, it is always a personal decision when to start treatment or when not to. And it's always, always very, very important to talk with your doctor and get the right guidance on when to start treatment. there's a lot of information out there on the internet about treatment, and a lot of it is good, some of it is bad. It's just like HIV. So some is good, some is bad. But I would strongly suggest that if you are co-infected, or even if you're mono-infected with hepatitis C, consult your doctor. Always, always, always consult your doctor before you make those decisions on treatment. One of the interesting statistics about hepatitis C treatment, and this is not to scare anybody, but it's just fact, is that hepatitis C treatment for HIV-positive patients is only effective 30 to 40% of the time, meaning that 60 to 70% of patients do not respond. It just doesn't work.
That's a pretty big number.
That's a huge number. And they're not sure why. They're pretty certain that it has something to do with the HIV infection. Now,
like the progression of it?
Right. So hepatitis C is people who are co-infected with HIV and hepatitis C are twice as likely to develop into some sort of liver cancer or something like that. They're about 50%. It's a 50% higher rate of evolving into cirrhosis. So there's a lot to consider. But on the flip side of all of this, they are finding that I saw this on PAWS.com. I've seen it, and I've seen several stories about this on PAWS.com and American Liver Foundation and a couple of other places. I think it's HIV and hepatitis.org or something like that, where the HIV medications, the antivirals, are seen to also keep the hepatitis C virus kind of in check a little bit. So there is some evidence that points to that. There's other studies that have yet to be done that they're trying to get through, but co-infection is it's a delicate balance for HIV positive and HCV positive patients. And it's difficult to know really what treatment options are available to you, because sometimes, just the news, of course, of either one of those is a shock.
Now, I have a question. It may be a dumb question for you, Jeremy, but I guess I was always taught no question's ever dumb. So now, is hepatitis A, B, and C, is that different stages of it, or is that a totally different, totally different infection? Like, you can get A, B, and C all at the same time, and it's not just hepatitis.
They are all three separate viruses.
Okay.
Hepatitis A, hepatitis B is usually passed through food. So if somebody doesn't wash their hands after going to the bathroom, and they're preparing your food, now this isn't going to make you never want to eat out again.
The restaurant, right?
But that's where they see a lot of the hepatitis A and B infections come from. It's from fecal matter being incorporated into usually raw vegetables. So salad bars, raw fish. That's a very different virus. Hepatitis C is bloodborne. So you have to come in contact with somebody's. You have to come in contact with somebody. With somebody else's blood, infected blood.
Right, similar to HIV.
Exactly.
Go ahead.
But HIV is more so sexually transmitted because you get it through breast milk, semen, blood, and vaginal fluids. Hepatitis C is primarily blood.
Oh, okay. I see, that makes more sense.
So that's why tattoos, many people have gotten hepatitis C through tattoos, because what happened is, if you've ever gotten a tattoo.
I haven't, so I'm afraid.
Okay.
I want one,
so,
but I'm afraid.
I want to get more. The artist uses these little ink wells, these little plastic caps, really, that they fill the ink up with, and they dip the tattoo needle in, and apply the tattoo. So what happened a few years ago is some of these tattoo artists were not changing the ink wells. They were changing the needles, getting rid of the needles, but they left the ink wells. So when they were, because when you dip the needle back into the ink, you're transferring blood. So when you've got, and when they refilled the inkwell and then went to another person for a tattoo, they were transmitting it that way.
Right.
Now that doesn't happen as much anymore, because tattoo artists, they have, they're under strict guidelines through the health departments and things like that. So they have to throw out, the needles, they have to throw out the inkwells and provide new. And that's important. It's very important. Now, I don't know if you remember hearing on the news about the 60,000 some people that were exposed to hepatitis C in Las Vegas. What happened there is that there were, it was a medical clinic, I think there were two medical clinics, that were reusing syringes. They were getting rid of the needle, but reusing the syringe. So, getting the blood mixtures and things like that in. So that's another way of transmitting the disease. Hepatitis C, and this is much easier to transmit than HIV is. Even if there's dried blood, the hepatitis virus is still communicable, even when it's dry.
Huh.
So
you learn something new every day.
Whereas the HIV virus has a high mortality has a high mortality rate when it's when it's exposed to the air. So HIV really needs to be, it shouldn't come in contact with the air because it will die. And, HIV is a pretty fragile virus. When it's outside of the body, hepatitis, not so much. Hepatitis is kind of robust. He's a hardy little guy.
Well, I'm looking here in
yeah.
The one book that we read out of, the patient expert, walk through the first year of HIV, and they mention some of the things in here of how you can actually, get hepatitis C. So I just want to read some of these since I have this little small list in front of me. And some of them are a little graphic, and I apologize if you get offended by it, but this is the reality of the subject, so you need to just deal with it.
Deal with it.
Take it. Avoid unprotected anal intercourse without a condom. This applies to women having anal sex with a male partner. Avoid rough sex practices such as fisting. Don't share sex toys. Avoid sexual activities under the influence of drugs, especially crystal meth. Avoid sharing a straw or rolled up dollar bill and snorting cocaine. Stop injecting drugs or never start. If you continue to inject drugs, always use clean needles and don't reuse or share the water or drug preparation equipment. And don't share toothbrushes, floss, or razors that may be contaminated with blood. That's all of them.
Well, and that's all right. You know, he's that's all correct. They are finding a higher incidence of hepatitis transmission among you know, the fisting community. Because, well, let's face it, when you stick a fist up your bum, you know, I mean, it's the law of physics. You're going to have some tearing. You're going to have some blood. It happens. And fisting is really not safe. Unprotected sex, it is a risk, but again, there has to be blood involved.
Yeah, this is unprotected anal intercourse.
Right. Again,
where usually there's more blood.
If there's, you know, tearing and if it's not lubricated as well and, you know, all that. They also find that the hepatitis C virus is transmitted when you have multiple sex partners at the same time. So, like at bathhouses and things like that, when you go from one partner to another, and if you're using, and this happens, where someone will use a condom but won't change the condom between partners. So you could be passing it from one person to another, yet you never get infected because you're wearing the condom if you're
right.
The top. Obviously it happens when unprotected sex as well, so, you know, no condoms are being used. So what that means, everybody, is change your condoms if you're having multiple partners. The other, of course, toothbrushes, razors,
floss.
I don't know about you, but I wouldn't use somebody's used dental floss.
No, me either.
Just, you know, I just wouldn't do it. Toothbrushes. Don't share toothbrushes. It's that simple. If you and quite honestly, if you tend to have more sex than others,
lucky you.
Exactly, lucky you. You know, keep some new toothbrushes in the closet or in the bathroom. If you know that somebody's going to be staying or you have people that stay over, you know, and there's nothing wrong with that. Go have fun. Don't
right.
stop living. But have a couple spare toothbrushes in there if they're going to stay overnight, which is fine. And then throw them out. Dentists. You can go to the dentist and you can get I do remember my orthodontist when I was younger, they had the disposable toothbrushes. It was a little toothbrush, and it had the toothpaste inside the little head, and you would push the toothbrush head down. It would put the toothpaste on it, and you would brush your teeth, throw it out. And you can get those. And, you know, and even if you're not having lots of sex, but let's say you have a steady girlfriend or boyfriend, they decide to stay over. And, they didn't bring their toothbrush. Have their own toothbrush there. Razors, again, you know, what everything that was in the book is to me, it's common sense.
Right.
You know, don't use somebody else's razor. And that goes for HIV-positive people who aren't co-infected as well. Don't share your razor with anybody, or toothbrushes, or I can't believe you said dental floss, but I guess people use dental floss.
That
just to me is bizarre. There is.
Or the other thing you mentioned here that you didn't touch on was the rolling of the dollar bill. You know what I mean?
Oh,
if you're snorting cocaine or something, it's going to rip your nose apart.
Right. Now, if you're an intravenous drug user, and my suggestion would be, first of all, is if there is a serious problem, try to get help. But learn how to clean your works. And many, there's a lot of AIDS service organizations out there that will show you how to do it, and they don't pass judgment, because that's the first thing that anybody, I don't care who you are, if you're a man, a woman, intersexed, gay, straight, transgendered, if you're, but if you are dependent on drugs and you're dependent on intravenous drugs, then find someone if you don't know how to clean your works, then find someone who can help you. Find someone who can show you how to do it, but get help. And it's always good to find those people who are who won't pass the judgment. And there's many, many folks out there who will do that. Sex toys. Again, this is just like, going from one partner to another. If you're going to use sex toys, throw a condom on them, and then just change the condom out. And it can be fun that way too. So, And always, 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 if you're using latex condoms, use some sort of water-based lubricant. Don't use any petroleum or oil-based lubricants, because oil and the petroleum-based lubricant, like Vaseline, let's see, what
petroleum
else?
Petroleum jelly.
Well, what's that?
That's that petroleum jelly.
Right, petroleum jelly. It's a petroleum based. So what will happen is it will cause the condom to fatigue, and the condom itself will break. So if you're going to use petroleum jellies or petroleum based lubricants, they have I think it's a silicone condom. Now, so you can use those. I suggest anyone using lambskin condoms, because they're too porous, and the virus can get through. It's latex condoms are the best to use. So, but again, change them out. Just change them out. And let's see, what else? Be safe with, always take your partner into consideration. One other thing about intravenous drugs, don't share needles. Don't share syringes. I think we all say that till we're blue in the face, but it's true. Don't share.
It only takes one time.
That's all it takes. It takes once. And especially with needle sharing, all it needs is once, because because now the virus, both hepatitis and HIV, are in that little vacuum in the syringe, so there's no air in there, so it'll stay alive a little bit longer.
More than likely, if you're getting high with somebody and they're willing to share a needle with you, more than likely they probably shared needles before.
With other people.
You know what I mean?
It's just if you can avoid sharing syringes and works, avoid it. Just avoid it. And, you know, find out if somewhere in your city they have needle exchanges where you can go and get rid of your old ones and get new ones. There are places out there that will do that and will help you. But always, you know, try to drop the habit. And that's so much easier said than done. But your quality of life will certainly improve if you're able to kick it. So.
Well, I want to also put it out there, if anyone out there listening would be interested in calling in and sharing a little bit about anything they feel like sharing about, you can give us a call at 347-215-9442, and you can talk with me and Jeremy while we're waiting if somebody calls in. I wanted to actually talk to you about this new book that I got that I'm really thrilled about. So,
Are we changing topics?
Why, do you have something else you want to say?
No,
we're just down to 20 minutes. So I was
going
to let people call in.
Gotcha.
But we can still talk about it. If you want to, go ahead.
No. I didn't know if we were switching.
Well, yeah, no, I just segue. Wanted to mention this because we were getting low. So what?
We're segueing.
So
what's this new book you got?
So this new book that I got is called Into the Mouth of the Wolf. Okay, and it's by an HIV positive, I can't even think, author, and his name is Joshua Dagon, D-A-G-O-N. And he has a website, joshuadagon.com. And it's very, very interesting. I first came across it in, this is December of 2008, POS magazine. And they did a little, you know, spit article on him. And what it says, I'm going to read a little bit of it. It says, in his latest novel, Into the Mouth of a Wolf, Joshua Dagon, the HIV-positive author, puts a potent spin on a classic theme, using werewolf's mythology to dissect the AIDS pandemic on the globe, as well as a personal scale. So he says, I grew up with HIV on the news, and I always considered it to be a result of chosen lifestyle. You choose the lifestyle, you put yourself at risk, and it's your fault, says Dagon, 35 years old. And in the book, the separation is even more ridiculous. I think it's human nature for people to try to distance themselves from something that they are frightened from. Into the Mouth of the Wolf is the name of the book. And I think it's a really interesting spin to put on a way to look at HIV through werewolf infection and to put a different spin on it. What do you think?
That's interesting. Okay, I just pulled it up on the web. So
I'm like,
first
really,
footage of a living werewolf.
It's very, very interesting. He has a couple books out. Some other books that he has is called The Fallen and Demon Tears. And this is the only book that I've seen out of his that is actually based around HIV. And that's why, I wanted to get it. And I just think it's a great spin on it. His name is Joshua Dagon. It's, put it in for the people in the chat room.
Yeah, I'm looking at it now. So it's... Well, it's a werewolf book.
Right.
Let's see. Da, 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 da. During Russell's adolescence, he watched with the rest of the world as outbreak turned into epidemic. Oh, so it's a metaphor for HIV.
Right.
Okay, gotcha. So it's,
and I think it's
not about HIV infection. It's really lycanthropic outbreak, but it's a metaphor for the HIV epidemic. I'm with you. All right, I'm with you now.
So I think it's really cool that, you know, that's it's just a really cool twist on it. I think, you know, I applaud him on that because it has to be difficult to try to find a new way to write about it that's different than everyone else. And I actually got the book, and I'm stoked about it, but I didn't realize it was over 400 pages. So it's like, you know, it's like a book.
400 pages.
But I'm hooked on it, you know what I mean? I can sit down and I can read like 9-10 pages at a time. So
Well, that's good.
That's going to be the book that I'm going to keep
for
next month. I'm sorry? There's no pictures in it.
There's no pictures in it?
No pictures,
so
all words. And you know what? I think it's because he's HIV positive, and I like supporting people like that. Like, if I was to buy art, I would like to buy art from somebody who's HIV positive. I just feel like I could relate to it more, and I would appreciate it a little bit more. So I kind of like supporting positive people when they put out different, you know, things like that.
That's interesting.
So I think it was pretty cool. If you are listening and you may have missed our last show, the Pause I Am Radio show is now 2 days a week. It is, of course, Sundays at 9 right here with me and Jeremy, and then it is also on Wednesdays at 2 p.m. with me and Joshua. And last week we had, last Tuesday, we had a big interview with Jack McEnroe from Project Runway, and it was a pretty big success. I actually asked to have it featured on Blog Talk Radio, and they featured it on the homepage for like one of the featured shows of the day. So all day they featured the radio show, and they had links to it, and it's been listened to over 120 times. So, you know what I mean? It definitely put a little bit more exposure out for us. And I know I actually just became friends with, Brian, the creator of Sin.
Uh-huh.
So I'm going to actually think about getting him to come on and do an interview with us as well.
Great.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that we have lined up that, I'm sorry, Jake, what's his last name?
Glazer.
Glazer, thank you. I keep
Jake
wanting to
Glazer.
Say Jake Glazer. And I'm also trying to get Marvelyn Brown. She's a little tough to get a hold of. And I also want to try to get Todd Murray from Hope's Voice, who I'm going to set up a date with him next week. He's going to call me and set up a date with us. And the thing is, I'm trying to get people to do it on Sundays. Because I got another interview, this guy, he's a member of the Pause AM community. His name is Darren Main, two R's in Darren. And he's an author. He's wrote like 4 books, I believe, and he also does yoga and does different kind of, you know, meditation and yoga and spiritual stuff. And I want to try to get him on the show, but since our show is at 9 o'clock, he couldn't make it. But since we have a 2 o'clock show, he's like, I can do it because he's on the East Coast and he teaches yoga on Sunday nights or something like that. So I'm going to get him on too. But there's another guy. I don't know the guy's name, the designer that Bob knows. I don't remember his name. He's a blind designer.
Okay, so say this one fun time. Does he design blinds or he's blind?
No, he's an interior designer, and he is blind. He doesn't
see. Oh, he's blind. Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's very interesting. He was actually at a show on one of those channels, A&E or something like that.
Uh-huh.
There's a link on Bob Bauer's site to him, and he said he was going to talk to him to see if I could get him on the show. I thought that would be
kind of
cool.
Oh, that's great.
How does somebody, like, design the inside of a house if they can't even see it? It fascinates me.
You know, that's amazing.
Well, they say when you don't have one of your senses, your other senses seem to pick up a little stronger, you know what I mean?
Yeah, what I'm trying to comprehend is color.
Yeah, how does he know what blue looks like? That's very interesting. I can't wait to get him on.
Wow, that's fascinating. Yeah, because colors, because, you know, design is about, it's all about texture and color and scale and all of that. Wow, that blows my mind. I think that's really, really cool.
Yeah, I'm trying to run to Bob's website real quick to see if I can find his name. Because I don't want to sit here and talk about this guy and then not, you know, be able to give everybody his name because he's a...
Yeah, see how you are? You start bringing stuff up.
And
so while you're looking that up,
I
just want to remind everybody that you can go to my site, www.positivelyspeaking.com. That's positively with a Z, positivelyspeaking.com. I've got a few blogs out there. I talk about a little bit about my hepatitis C co-infection. I've also got a couple of things on there about what else do I have out there? I've got some stuff I wrote about Bill, my anniversary, my recent anniversary. 4 years. I also blogged about the guy that faked his own HIV results just so he could have sex. So there's a few things out there that I've been talking about. I'll be again making some more blog updates a couple times a month. So come out, check it out, and leave a couple of comments on the blogs that you read, and let me know what you think.
Sounds good. Actually, I'm looking. He did have a show on A&E, and the name of the show was called Designing Blind.
Designing Blind.
And his name is Eric Byrne Sanglard.
Wow.
And he's from L.A. So I think that'll be kind of interesting.
What a story that is. Is he also HIV positive?
I want to say yes.
Okay.
I want to say yes. I do. I really do. But it does. Of course, it doesn't say it on here because this is his
right.
first show, so it may not be something he broadcasts. But I think he may be, but I don't quote me on it because I don't want to, you know, say
right.
something that I don't know anything about. he may be. I don't know. I don't know for sure, but I thought it was very, very different way to let people know that just because you have, you know, handicap or something wrong with you, or even if that you're infected with HIV, your dreams are not, you know, you can still reach your dreams and still have them. And I think it's a wonderful story to tell, whether he's infected or not.
That's an incredible story.
Yeah, he has a lot of, there's a lot of people that I see on Bob's site that we could get. I'll have to work on that. I have to talk to him a little bit.
You're putting guests off somebody else's site. I love it.
Well, no, they're his friends. And I told Bob, I already talked to Bob Bowers, too, and I told him that we want to have him back on.
Yeah, we need to have him back on.
And
Bob.
I said, we're definitely going to have him on, and it's going to be another Sunday night so he can sit with both of us because
he brought
us together. So.
I know. I still call him a bum. I wonder if he's even listening. He's probably one of the guests in the but he's a bum.
He usually comes in with like 5 minutes left.
I know. He goes, hey, keep it up. It's like, where were you? We were talking and you weren't here. You know, sometimes he's like my, you know, I feel like he's like a parent that just, you know, just comes in and pats you on the back and then leaves again because he's got to go to the office, you know. Sad, really. Oh, God, I need therapy. I need to talk to my therapist again because I'm having these, you know, intimacy issues apparently.
So
where is he?
Right. Just so people know, our show on Wednesday, we didn't confirm on the topic, but more than likely we believe it's going to be a topic on disclosure. Since it's a different group of listeners that we get during the day, we figured we could kind of, you know, repeat some of the ones that we did here. But Josh actually came up with a pretty good idea, and we could do it actually both days, you know, Wednesdays and Sundays, is just have a day where, you know, it's so hard for people just to say, I'm HIV positive, or hi, my name's Bob, and I'm HIV positive. And just to have a day where people can just call in and say it. Just, you know, some people may not say, you know, their name, but sometimes it just feels good just to say, I'm positive, and I'm okay with that. So he thought it would be kind of cool. I don't know, what's your input on that?
Interesting. Interesting idea.
You know what I mean? It's just kind of like empower people by saying it's okay to be HIV positive.
It is okay to be HIV positive. It's okay to be hepatitis C positive, too.
Right.
It's okay to be herpes positive. It's okay to be, what else is there? It's okay to be whatever you are, you know. Just because we have a disease doesn't make us bad people. We just have
very
this disease, a virus.
Very, very true.
You know, we could say that we're like the viral videos.
Viral videos?
Yeah. Haven't you heard of viral video? You know, where the video is just passed from one person to another, and it makes, you know, what's one of those viral videos that everybody, it's like the little gopher or chipmunk or whatever it is in Japan, you know, with the little eye that he does. It's very cute. That, you know, the video.
Oh, I know what you're talking about now.
Yeah.
When they, like,
yeah.
close up on his eye and he's like.
Exactly. See? See?
Yeah,
but, just to kind of a couple of closing comments about co-infection is that we live every day. Looking in the mirror and seeing that infection in the mirror every day, right? We get up and we see it. HIV is hard enough. HPV added on top of that can be devastating for some folks. So it's so important to have your
it's just so important to have a support network around you and a really good relationship with your doctor. What I wanted to also, so that's one thing. And the other thing is that the prevalence of hepatitis B virus may be as high as 30% among people living with HIV or AIDS, and as high as 90% among people living with HIV/AIDS who contracted HIV through injection drug use. So it's prevalent. There's a lot of folks out there who have it may not know it. And the other thing is that end-stage liver disease associated with hepatitis B is now a major cause of death among people living with HIV and AIDS. So it's so important that if you already are HIV positive, make sure that you get screened for hepatitis B. And if you are in a higher risk group of injection drug use, you're in the fisting community, or you're, sharing lots of toys and that sort of thing, make sure that you do get screened for hepatitis C. It's very, very important because hepatitis C can lie in wait for you, and it could be very, very, it could be deadly. So, now, this is something that you can go to your regular HIV doctor and get tested and things for, right?
Yeah, because most HIV doctors are infectious disease specialists. So if it is, and hepatitis C is an infectious disease, so be sure. Just use your resources that you have, and your doctor is the resource that you utilize. Also, I wanted to note that the Ryan White Care Act.
You're fading a little bit.
Oh, is that better?
Yes.
Okay. Sorry, I keep dropping the phone down. The Ryan, you might qualify for assistance through Ryan White. So, and there is money and there is dollars for, there are dollars for people who are co-infected with HIV and hepatitis C. So make sure that you do research those different resources. So
sounds good to me. Resource everything, and always remember, me and Jeremy are not doctors, so always consult your physician before you do anything. I want to thank you all for tuning in and remind you all that you can learn more about Jeremy at his website at www.positivelyspeaking.com. That's positively with a Z. And you can also check out the Pos I Am community and learn a little bit more about me and see Jeremy and some other people in the chat room there at www.posiam.com. Jeremy, thanks for hanging out with me again. It's always a pleasure.
Hey, it's my pleasure. And it's, you know what? It's always your pleasure to have me.
Yeah, you got it. But have a good night, all right?
All right, you too, everybody. Have a great week.
Thanks. And everyone else, don't forget to leave a comment and get back to us. So join the PosIAM community, set up a profile, and we'll be talking to you soon. Remember, our next show is Wednesday at 2 p.m., so give us a call.